Men who have wonderful women in their lives. Men who have wonderful women in their lives will tell you there is nothing more satisfying than having a great partner by your side. For some single guys, choosing the right woman can be a struggle. There are thousands of good women out there, but some men consistently pick incompatible mates. If you're one of those men, pain and desperation can drive you to clumsily adopt the ways of the world in finding this right. Such a poor thought-out strategy can only lead to heartache and disappointment. A smart man understands that he must be prepared for love and also for the woman he ultimately wants to spend the rest of his life with. Bad decisions, bad choices have ruined many a man's life. Unfortunately, the world is filled with females who will ruin your life. Therefore, to choose your mate wisely, you have to know what Miss Wright represents to you. Family. Can we talk? Welcome to another episode of Can We Talk? I'm your host, Raz Williams. This show is coming to you live every Friday from 8 till 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, we have a great show lined up for you. Last week, we talked about the right Mr. Right, where we discussed that the do's and don'ts in knowing how to identify the man that God has for you. We also had an amazing testimony from Jackie all the way from Arkansas. This week, it's only fair that we address the brothers and talk about the right Miss Right. So, guys, if you have a question or a comment or want to share a testimony, or we would love to hear from you, give us a call at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. I want to give a shout-out to Jackie in Arkansas. Jackie, I want to thank you for calling the show last week, and I want to thank you for giving your testimony. It was very brave of you. And I want to give a shout-out to Miss Shari all the way out of Maryland. Thanks for being a follower of our show, and please feel free to call us. We would definitely love to hear from you. I'm pretty excited, guys, because we have an awesome panel of co-hosts, and actually I want to introduce the first person who was on my mind to really originally host the show, but she had some other previous engagements. But guys, she is the epitome of what I call wisdom, packaged in a good-looking body and a face. So I want to introduce to you for the first time on Can We Talk, Dianika. How are you doing, Dianika?
Hey, I'm doing good. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great.
Good. Excellent. I'm excited to join you.
Good. So, Dianika, what do you think of today's topic?
You know, I think it's a very relevant topic. I think that, especially in Christendom, we don't discuss these type of topics as often as we should. So I definitely think it's relevant, giving some tips and just some perspective from a woman's point of view on how to find Miss Right, or maybe what Miss Right even looks like. So from a godly perspective. So I think it's very necessary. I'm excited about the topic and looking forward to discussion.
All right. Absolutely. That's great to have you on the show, Dianika. And I want to go to the next young lady. She's actually, I consider her to be like an older sister to me, and she's funny as I don't know what. And we actually call her Coco Plus, but her name is Angie, and I want to introduce Angie for the first time to Can We Talk. Angie, how you doing?
Hi, everyone. I'm doing great. I'm a little under the weather tonight, but I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for really pushing through and being on the show. Now, Angie, let me ask you, what do you think about the title of today's topic?
I think is very necessary, because I think that we as women sometimes, we don't even know what we want or, you know, or how to go about being, you know, that mate for the man. So I think that this is a good, you know, topic that we need to discuss and to have more people involved so that we can learn what we need to do and how we should act and go about to get a godly relationship going for, you know, to strive to have better children and just a better future for ourselves.
Absolutely. That's great. And I want to welcome back to the show Lorraine Klein. Lorraine was actually supposed to be on our show last week and the week before, but she was down with bronchitis. So, Lorraine, are you feeling a lot better now?
I am feeling much better. Thank you, Raf.
Awesome. Great to have you back, Lorraine.
Thank you.
And, yeah, great. Guys, we have a great show lined up. So I want to introduce you back again to the show, who is a prominent member of the show, Ronnie Ambrose. Ronnie, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. Ronnie, man, it's good to have you back, man. What do you think about the topic, today's topic?
I'm excited, and I was doing a little studying, and I actually, you know, got to learn that identifying the right miss right is real key and important, and I don't think we have the proper perspective on what miss right is. So this is going to be a good discussion.
Awesome. And I want to introduce to you for the first time as well, my cousin, Mr. Leslie. Leslie, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Raz. How about yourself?
I'm blessed. I'm doing wonderful, man. Leslie, man, what do you think about today's show?
Oh, very, very necessary. I mean, the information is people are starving for this information. I'm excited, and I'm honored to have been invited to be a part of it.
Oh, that's wonderful, man. That's good. All right, man. Well, listen, let's go ahead and get into today's show, and I kind of want to create like an outline of today's show, and I want to break it down into five areas. Area number one is I want to pose questions to the panelists, and the first discussion is going to be attributes godly men should be looking for in identifying the right miss right. So I want to start with you, Ronnie, and I want to ask you what are some of the attributes in no particular order, of course, that godly men should be looking for in determining or identifying who Miss Wright is for them?
Well, godly men. Luckily for us, we have the scriptures, because I thought I had a good idea of what Miss Wright was until I was reading Proverbs 31. And this is right, Proverbs 31 is where this issue is truly addressed. And so the right miss right, the characteristics you're looking for are all throughout Proverbs 31. And so I'll give you a couple examples. If you want to identify the right miss right, here's what she'll be doing. She'll be clothed with strength and dignity, and she'll laugh without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. So that's just a little bit of what the attributes of the right Miss Right look like. She's strong. She's got dignity. She's not worried about the future because she's planned ahead and did what she had to do today for tomorrow. She watches everything in her house, meaning the climate. Is everything in line with God's will in her house? And she suffers nothing from laziness because she's taking care of business. And that's just a little bit of what the Bible allows us to learn about the right Miss Right.
Wow, that's pretty good, Mr. Ronnie. I mean, you always bring the truth and the wisdom of God. That's a good diagnosis right there. I want to ask the same question to you, Leslie. Leslie, what do you think about some of the characteristics of as far as the attributes that godly men should be looking for in identifying Miss Wright?
Well, I want to first start by saying we as men have to be accountable for our choices. And no one person can ruin your life except for self. You know what I mean? So it's not so much what the woman is, it's what you endure. You know, we often hold on to things that we shouldn't hold on to. We often seek out things that we shouldn't seek out. So first of all, you have to look at self before you start looking for this, you know, this godly woman. You have to actually ask yourself, what am I expecting? Am I ready? Am I ready for that? You know, do I have the discipline, the patience, the understanding? Am I myself truly as godly as the woman that I'm looking for? Sometimes we have to look at ourselves. But back to your question, definitely honor, strength.
Absolutely.
Those attributes are awesome. They're awesome. Just on more or less on an everyday life, living not just within the church, not just on a religious level, just on an everyday level within society. What makes a woman Mrs. Wright is her belief in her man, her belief that God is who he is, and he's going to provide her with someone as long as she does her part, as long as she understands the order of things. There's a one and there's a two. And those things aren't easily identified in a woman. You can't find those things out in a woman in a day. It takes time. It takes a relationship. You have to build with that person to actually see those attributes come out. You know, you can easily read, you can read scripture and find, you know, a description, but it takes time to see those things in a woman, and you have to know how to identify them within today's society.
Not to cut you there, Leslie. I want to post that same question to Lorraine. Lorraine, from a woman's perspective, I know you talked to a lot in your therapy session. You talked to a lot of different, you know, couples and single people, especially single men. In your opinion, what are some of the attributes that godly men should be looking for that you think that we don't pay attention to on the outset of looking for the right Miss Wright?
Well, you know, I will agree with Ronnie in him saying that first you have to look at yourself and look at where you're at and what you're looking for. So if you're looking for a woman that's Christ-like and godly, then where are you at and are you ready for that? And I think sometimes women tend to feel like they have to look a certain way because men are visual, and so they think they have to look pleasing. And sometimes women can spend more time worrying about what they're looking like and their external, and they're not paying enough attention to where they're at with the Lord. And basically, you know, God says that when we seek him first, all these things are added unto us, and that's the same for men and women. So when you're looking for Miss Wright, you want to remember that, you know, as Ronnie was saying in Proverbs 31, it says that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. And so you don't want somebody necessarily that's their whole focus is how they look and the money and the prestige and the status. You're looking for somebody that really has a heart for God, that their focus is on the Lord, and that you're seeing those attributes that you're looking for, somebody that's going to understand that the order is God first and then your husband, that the man is even above the children, that your husband comes first. So you want somebody that's emotionally available, somebody that that loves the Lord, that is not going to have a problem with the fact that, you know, you're the spiritual leader in the house and look to you to be able to be put in that place. Sometimes that's a scary position for women to be in, but when you're looking for your mate, you want somebody that is going to trust that God is, you know, working through you and is going to trust you and trust your leadership and your judgment.
That's good. I want to, Ronnie, you kind of talked about the godly characteristics that God, how God defines the rightness, right? And I was looking at Proverbs 6:24, and it says to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. And I want to ask Dainika about this. As far as Proverbs 6:24, what do you think are some of the other godly attributes that that men should be looking for in the rightness, right?
I would say, of course, I will echo what everyone else has said before me, and that's that, you know, they, of course, have to have a relationship with the Lord. That's first and foremost. They need to love God, and that needs to be evident, you know, by the fruit in their lives. So are they exhibiting, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness? All of those things are going to let you know that that's flowing from her true relationship with the Lord. And so that would be prime, of course, the first thing. And then next I would say, of course, a woman of character. And as everyone has touched on as far as Proverbs 31, you know, it starts off in verse 10 is even saying, you know, wife of noble character or a virtuous woman, who can find one? So, you know, character, of course, is often described as what you do when no one else is looking, or your integrity, you know, who you truly are at the core. And so to me, these things can be exhibited by, you know, a male needs to pay attention to this kind of stuff, pay attention to her behaviors, her habits, her consistencies, as well as her inconsistencies. You know, how are they around their family, friends, and if they're, you know, a single parent, how are they raising their child? Another big topic there is respect. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 that the woman should respect her husband, or I should say potential husband in this case, and, you know, whether or not she's a contentious woman. So that's another attribute that I would say would be something that, you know, men would definitely want to look out for with regards to godly character in that woman. You know, again, to echo Proverbs 31, I do think that it outlines a lot of the attributes, you know, for the most part, that we should expect from a godly woman. I mean, one woman will maybe look at that and think it's a bit overwhelming. You know, to be honest, she seems to be flawless, and, you know, none of us really are flawless. So sometimes it's a hard standard to live up to, but at the core of it is just the fact that she is a noble woman of character who obviously loves the Lord, who obviously is expressing her faith and her love for her family by what she does. And so that's something that's showing, you know, showing out throughout the things that she's doing that Proverbs 31 so eloquently outlines. And so she's hardworking, she's humble, she's compassionate, she's a visionary, she's resourceful. All of those things are wonderful godly attributes. But again, that also still goes back to the point that Leslie brought up earlier about what kind of man can handle that type of woman. So definitely needing to look within themselves, because that whoever her husband was, I'm sure did a lot of cultivating and did a lot of pouring into her, did a lot of, you know, all of those things that are very necessary, loving her in such a way that she could flourish in those attributes, you know what I mean, in that relationship, in that marriage, and feel that she could be the woman of her house in such a way that she was supported. And so those attributes sometimes don't always come immediately with that woman, but those are things that her male counterpart are going to come in and help to flourish, to grow, to cultivate, if you will say.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful description right there, Dainika. I want to ask the same question to Angie. Angie, you've been hearing us describe some of the scriptures and how God defines the rightness, right? What do you have to say about that?
I agree with everyone on the panel, and I also wanted to reiterate the fact that when a man is looking for a woman of God, he should really tune in, like everyone else is saying, not only what she looks like, but what's inside. And you want someone that's going, in First Thessalonians, it says, you know, you want someone that's going to encourage you, admonish you. You want someone that build you up and would strengthen you, you know, one another. You don't want someone that's going to tear you down and speak, you know, ill will of you. You want someone that when you're feeling down, you want someone to come along and encourage you and lift that person back up. You know, that's what a man is looking for, encouragement from his woman, to push him past where he is in that stance so that he can catapult to the next level. So she's in being his cheerleader, saying, "You can do it, hon. You know, I'm pulling for you." So you want someone who's in your corner instead of saying, "Oh, well, you know, I knew you couldn't do it anyway." You don't want someone that's discouraging to you. You want someone that's
actually has your back. So that makes you feel that you can move forward.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. I want to read to you guys Matthew 7:6, where it says, "Do not cast your pearls before swine." And to me, that means that whatever you respect, you also value. But a lot of men are with women who do not value who they are. And Ronnie, I want to ask you this question. How do you feel about men looking for a woman who values them, and how important is that?
Men looking for women that value the man or value themselves?
No, value the man. A lot of men are with women where the women do not value them or don't respect them, as Ronnie could mention. So how important is
that? I don't know about going about looking for someone like that, but if you end up with somebody who doesn't value you and your position in the relationship and might not know her position in the relationship, that doesn't mean, like, her position is under you so she can go get your shoes and your sandals or your newspaper. But her position is to support you and remind you of things and keep you on your toes and keep you doing what you're supposed to do. If she doesn't know or value your role, she won't be doing her role, and you're probably not going to be happy. You might be able to bring money in to pay the bills, and, you know, you'll be buying affections and things of that nature, but you won't have a true partner. And so, you know, I would try to get to the root of if anyone's in that kind of relationship where the woman doesn't value the man as who God created him to be, you know, it's going to be detrimental.
Absolutely. I think it was Miles Monroe who wrote out that if you don't understand the value of something, you will inevitably abuse that. So just like a man, if he doesn't understand the value of his wife, he will abuse her, and vice versa. So I want to ask the same question to Lorraine. Lorraine, for a man in determining the right, Mrs. Right, how important do you feel it is for that woman to value that man?
Well, I have to basically echo what Ronnie just said. I think that it's important for a man to have a woman in his life that values him and cares about him and has his back. In that same vein, though, sometimes the wife or the person that he's looking at also has to be willing to maybe challenge some of those areas for him to grow, because I think that when God, sometimes people don't realize that when you get married or when you have that mate, that person isn't always going to, encouragement and et cetera is not always going to be in the form of something that's, I got your back and everything is great. It could be looking like a time when you call them out on something so that you're challenging when they're walking in the flesh instead of in the spirit. You're helping them grow. I think God brings people together. When we're together with our spouses, it's not always perfect, but it's an opportunity for us to grow in areas that maybe we are walking more in the flesh in than the spirit. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I think it's really important for a woman to value her husband and to encourage him and to love him, but also be strong enough to be able to say, you know, that didn't feel like a very Christ-like response, and give them an opportunity to go, you know what, you're right, that I was acting in the flesh in that moment, and I do want to be more Christ-like and kind of help them grow through things as well, not to beat them up in that process, to be loving and encouraging with each other. But that's also another part of marriage. You know, marriage, when you're looking for that spouse, you want somebody that's going to be honest with you, that's going to want to believe in you, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, and we all are growing. So we need that partner in our life to be somebody that's going to encourage us and, you know, point things out in a loving way as well.
Absolutely. Guys, if you just tuning into the show for the first time, we're talking about the right Miss Right. And to call in, please call our number at 347-945-7310. That's 347-945-7310. I want to kind of talk about corrupted perceptions of love. In previous shows, we've talked about how a distorted perception of love can really cause you to be unhealthy in a relationship. And I want to, and it's a reality that from my experiences, in my own life experiences, and also seeing some of the other males that were close in my life, how that they were attracted to women who, for lack of a better word, had a very corrupted and distorted perception of what love is. So I want to ask this to Dianika. How important do you think it is for a man to, because a lot of men were very visually stimulated, and as a consequence, even when we know that woman's not good for us, some of us who are weak will definitely still go in for the kill, so to speak. So how do you think, how dangerous is that for a man to, if a woman's perception of, you know, of love is corrupted, how can that affect the man?
Well, I think that's a very, you know, dangerous situation. I can understand what you're saying as far as sometimes men, I think that because of the outside package, maybe, you know, everything that you ever could have desired or what have you, but you get inside and get a chance to get to know the young lady, and you can kind of tell that there's some, you know, some things going on emotionally. Maybe she's emotionally unavailable, or there's some things that have happened to her in her past, some past hurts or some insecurities. And I think that many men may have what we call like a hero syndrome, almost to the point of thinking, well, I can help or I can fix it, or, you know, they have that desire to be needed. And, you know, at the same time, the thing that can be so dangerous about that is that as we're trying to, or as the man is trying to help that woman heal, you know, she may not even be really seeing him truly for who he is, because she's not even ready. You know what I'm saying? She's not in a position to really receive that love that he's trying to give her, because her perception of love, like you mentioned before, is distorted. So she's not able to receive, and may even just take advantage of the fact that that man's around, that he's pouring into her, that he's complimenting her, you know, all of those different things. And then when she gets to a place of healthiness, she ends up leaving that person. And that so often happens because, you know, if truth be told, she would have never been attracted to you had she been all the way in her healthy state at that point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of men may fall into that trap because they, you know, they're often, you know, the man is the protector, and he, you know, consciously wants to care and to nurture a woman back to her, you know, natural state of health or what have you. But it's just not a good situation to be in, you know, period, because if a person is unhealthy emotionally, usually that has a lot to do with their relationship with Christ as well. So they're not even understanding the true love and worth that's in them by Christ, who's already redeemed them, you know. And so that's not something to me that another male can help you understand. That relationship has to come through Christ, and them recognizing and realizing who they are in him, and then being able to receive vertically the love from someone else. And so I feel like those things need to be in place. And if that red flag is shown immediately in a friendship or a relationship, then to me that's when the godly man should be able to discern, you know, through prayer and just by watching her behaviors, and be able to back off and have a friendship.
Absolutely.
That doesn't cross those boundaries. You know what I mean? And then be able to maybe through that friendship help encourage her and help, you know, help her to see some of those different things, or even, you know, introducing her to other godly women that can help her in that. But a relationship should not be pursued, you know, on the basis of her not even having a healthy love relationship with the Father first. And that would be, you know, the way I see it as far as that is concerned.
Wow. That's you know, guys, that's why we have Dianika on the show, because she does give some of the realest advice out there.
Oh, praise God.
Leslie, I want to ask you, sir, in your past, I mean, have you encountered, have you encountered a woman knowing that she helped, talking to her, knowing that her, you know, her mindset, her emotions, she had a distorted perception of what love was about, but you still pursued her anyway? Have you ever encountered that before?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that, like I said, and that comes back to being accountable for self. Back to, I think, Dianika, she kind of touched on what I was saying earlier. on you have to be able to see the red flags, and it's what you tolerate. If you want to sit in the fire and burn, then you sit in the fire and burn. And at that time, I saw a lot of red flags, but I continued to deal with it. For what reason? I felt like I could make the changes. I felt like I could see things through and create this person that I saw this person to be. And it didn't work. And so I can't say she ruined my life, because they were my choices. And that's, like, you know, as I reflect on earlier, I knew better. And, you know, as a Christian man, I knew better. I saw the signs, and that's what we do. And so it's up to you to whether you want to sit there and burn after taking the time. You give things time. You can be, you know, you pray on things and you ask for patience and understanding. But after your answers come, you know, you have to act. And if you choose to sit there and deal with it, then you can't, you know, pray and say, woe is me. You know, you have to deal with what's coming.
That's absolutely, that's a good point.
I mean, that's the truth of it.
Definitely.
Go ahead. No, I was just, that's accountability. I mean, you have to deal with things. I mean, because that's what we're taught. I mean, you know, you have the mercy of, and the grace of being able to move forward and find that person that is for you. But if you sit and you choose to continue to ignore signs, things that you know that you've been taught and what you know is true and what is correct, you know, you'll get burned. Lust. Sometimes we lust after the flesh, trying to get that pretty woman to become, you know, something else that she just isn't. And if you want to continue to lust, you will get burned.
Okay. Guys, you heard what he said. Stop doing that.
Yeah, money's not going to change them. Money's not going to change things. It's self.
Money, lavishing with gifts, being Mr. Goodbar, all those things will not change a woman's heart and compel her to love you. It will not. Mm-hmm. It will not. All right, I want to ask the ladies these questions. This is Lorraine, Dynika, and Angie. And we'll start with Lorraine first. In the pursuit of Miss Wright, or evaluating who she might be after meeting, a different number of women, how would it be inappropriate for a man to inquire about her past relationships?
No, I think that it's important as time goes on and you're getting to know somebody that you have a sense of their past relationships and their history, and it speaks to how healthy they are. It speaks to some of the choices they've made, where they're at, how soon those relationships were, some of the reasons that they, you know, didn't continue in the relationships. And I think overall, you know, sometimes we don't realize when we're in a relationship, or men can not even realize that when they're looking for a certain person, that some of the things that we carry with us from our childhood, it's almost like we try to recreate our past to have a different ending. So if you had a mom maybe that wasn't so attentive and she wasn't, she really wasn't paying attention to you, she was always working or busy or dating, and you always felt like you were trying to get her attention, and you find that you're pursuing women that do the same type of thing, that they don't really pay attention to you, they don't give you the time that you need, and they just don't make you feel like a priority, you might even start being more aware of the type of women you're looking for if relationships aren't working out, and kind of see, where am I in that? Why is it that I keep pursuing this type of a woman? And it could even be something like that there's something in us that wants to recreate, to have a different ending. So you end up picking these women that aren't really emotionally available, or aren't healthy, and that don't make you a priority, but you keep trying to pursue them to show them I'm good enough and I can do this for you, and I can try to prove yourself just like you did when you were a kid in some of those past relationships. And once you start realizing, you see that pattern, you can identify it and say, you know what, I don't need to do that anymore. And that's when you can start looking for healthy. You can start looking for that woman that loves the Lord, that's emotionally available. And I think for you to know about their past relationships is part of that. You kind of need to know where they're at, because just like you're pursuing women with potentially some things that are playing into the type of people you're looking for, so are those women looking for men, that they could potentially be trying to look for that dad that abandoned them, or they have a high tolerance for a certain thing, or they have a lot of expectations of you that may not be godly, but they're expectations out of their unhealthiness. So I don't think there's anything wrong with finding out about past relationships.
Lorraine, if you will, you mentioned something really important right there. You mentioned emotional unavailability. For those who are listening in and don't know what that means, can you quickly define what emotional unavailability is?
Well, when I'm working with people, I find that when they're emotionally unavailable, they don't allow you to get very close. Or they might say, or they act like they want you to get close, but then they kind of push you away. They're not really emotionally available. They're busy with work, or they're busy with their friends, or emotionally they're not able to be open and vulnerable to you and share from their heart and be able to accept what you're sharing from your heart and be there, where you have an adult reciprocal relationship that you're sharing on an emotional level. They're so protected and guarded sometimes because they don't want to be hurt, probably from their past issues, but they're not ready yet because they haven't allowed God to do a healing for them to be in a place to be open to allow other people into their life, trusting that, you know, you're going to take a risk anytime you're in a relationship, but you don't have to stop having relationships to protect yourself. You can trust that God is going to bring that person into your life and have discernment, because if you're looking for those red flags, you're going to know when to say, you know what, this person isn't available to me, or she's not displaying those godly characteristics that I know are really important. She looks real good, but is this really somebody I want to spend the rest of my life with, somebody that I can't talk to on a deeper level?
And
absolutely. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, and not to interrupt, but if you act accordingly, then you don't give yourself before you are able to see those red flags and pull out, and then you don't have that emotional commitment that now you're torn, you know, as a woman. So
exactly.
You know.
Women, once you cross that line, when you feel like, and there are a lot of women, unfortunately, sadly, that don't have that healthy boundary, and they're afraid that if I don't meet this man and spend time with him and give myself to him physically,
mm-hmm.
that he might leave and he won't be
mm-hmm.
there for me and I'll lose the potential of the relationship.
Yes.
When you set that boundary, then that man is going to commit to getting to know you for who you are, and he's going to get to know your heart, and if he really loves you, he'll wait. And you'll both wait. And there's a reason God says not to have sex before marriage. It's because he knows the damage it's going to do to.
Definitely. Absolutely. You know, one thing I wanted to say was that, you know, and I'm going to kind of post this question to Ronnie. Ronnie, before we go back to the ladies and asking that question, I want to talk about Samson. Samson was a clear example of what it means to pursue a woman who's emotionally unavailable. He pursued Delilah. She did not love him the way he loved her. And she used her body, her sex, to pretty much have him whooped, and to the point where he sold out his destiny for Delilah when she was sent by the devil to destroy him. And as a consequence, Israel was robbed of a judge. So, Lonnie, how important is that for, you know, once a man sees the warning signs, to back off and to just stay away?
To back off and stay away from a woman?
When you see the warning signs, if she's emotionally unavailable, or there's warning signs, just like how we, you know, I just mentioned Samson saw the warning signs with Delilah, but he still kept pressing through, thinking that he could handle it, thinking that he had everything under control, not realizing that after he had relations with her, that he was so caught in that he you know, until it was too late.
I think it's been said that once you go ahead and have sex before you even know who you're having sex with, you put yourself in a position to be attached for the wrong reason. And so if you're attached for the wrong reason, you'll only have a wrong relationship. And, you know, you can, jump around it and you know, make a reason to stay, but you should leave. But one thing, you get in that position when you don't realize that you shouldn't even – you should have a period of courting. Like, you know, there's no courting going on. The sex is the courting now. But when really you're supposed to, if I meet somebody, you know, get to know them, spend time with them, because, you know, my intention is not just having sex or just having a girlfriend, but, you know, the intention is to do God's will and be fruitful and be one and multiply. But now, if you see the warning signs, it'll be easy for you to leave if you don't have sex before you know who you're having sex with. But once you have sex, then you're stuck because, you know, you're pleasing the flesh and you want to, you know, you want to satisfy yourself. You don't want to please the Father. You want to please yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm gonna go back to that question I asked Lorraine. I'm gonna ask Angie. Angie, as a woman, I mean, how important or how relevant do you feel that is for a man to really, you know, inquire about the woman he's pursuing, you know, asking her about her previous and past relationships?
I do think it is important to know, you know, something about her background, where she comes from, because it does have a bearing on the future, unfortunately, because if she didn't correct what has happened to her in her past, she will drag that along. And if she never goes and seeks counsel for that and asks God to, you know, deliver her from that, she will damage the man or the future men in her life by that, because they'll end up being hurt by this woman's past.
Awesome. That's a good point. I want to ask Dainika. Dainika, how you mentioned earlier on in the show, you mentioned the importance of, finding out what type of family background she comes from. And how important do you feel it is for a man to kind of understand her family dynamics as far as her relationship with her father? I want to talk about the father and daughter relationship and how that can affect the quality of a woman that a man could be pursuing, as far as determining if that's an unhealthy situation, how that can have a negative outcome, rather, in a relationship.
Yeah, I absolutely think all of those type of conversations are very necessary and as soon as possible. You know, to open the lines of communication, I think that it's really essential when we're trying to build a relationship with anybody to have that level of communication, that level of understanding of who they are, you know, by having those kind of conversations. So like you mentioned, the family relationship, even, you know, past relationships, all of that, just in asking the questions and having them answer it is going to tell you how open they are to communication, how vulnerable they're willing to be with their past and their issues and their insecurities and their hurts and, you know, things that are essential to their character, that have shaped who they truly are. So I think those conversations are really essential, and like I said, as early as possible, you know, they need to be had. So I would just say key things, you know, in having that conversation would be, of course, to really listen how they even describe the situation. You know, if you just, for example, pose the question, you know, what's your relationship like with your father? You know, listen to key things in terms of how they describe that relationship, and the same with past relationships. You know, are they constantly placing blame, or are they the victim every time, or are they, you know, just key things that you can really hear in a conversation as someone describes to you what the dynamics of their relationship is like with that person. Because we always know, of course, it's a one-sided perspective. So you're hearing their perspective of what their relationship was like with either their father or with, you know, past men or what have you. But more importantly, I think that it helps you to identify patterns, you know, those things that are deep within them, those insecurities, if their father wasn't in the home, you know, how that made them feel, you know, those sorts of things. Oftentimes, the future husband bears that burden, you know, of feeling those voids that they didn't feel like they got from their father, if he wasn't around, or they didn't get the love that they needed, they didn't have the proper image of themselves, you know, as with how a man should treat them based upon how their father treated their mother. So, you know, those kind of conversations, like I said, I think are really essential to be able to show you whether or not they've healed, whether or not they're at a healthy place in their life to even move forward. Feedback.
Okay, we're getting a little feedback there.
Yeah, a little feedback, but yeah, so I would just say that to me is really central. I find pleasure really in having just a conversation with people. You know, I think you can just learn a lot about a person just by how willing they are to share those particular things, and friendships, relationships, all aspects of it. You know, that's just really going to help you see who you're dealing with, who the person is, and what type of relationship you should or should not have with them. You know what I mean? And if they are in an unhealthy place, then you know where to position yourself and what you either how you can help them or how you need to kind of move back from that situation if it's not the right one for you. Because, again, you know, those situations, if they haven't been dealt with, especially on a spiritual level, seeking the Lord to deliver them from, you know, strongholds and ways of thinking and bondages and different things that may have come from their past. You know, people have been molested and just have had awful things happen to them, and those things have played out in their relationships, how they are with sexual promiscuity, and, you know, so many different areas in life have a lot to do with the relationships we have had in our lives and things that have happened at an early age. So I don't want to get off topic, but, you know, to answer your question, I really think it's essential, you know, to have those conversations as soon as possible and to really dive in, you know, almost no holds barred. I mean, you know, to a point, you know, some people are personal and private, but to me, the more willing they are to be vulnerable with you and to really open up and discuss that, the more you have it at a healthy foundation of communication and at a healthy friendship, which to me is the beginning of any relationship.
Absolutely. That's definitely a good point. I want to talk about my second point of my outline is attributes godly men must run away from to avoid being with the wrong woman or having the wrong woman entering into their life. So I'm going to ask this to Ronnie. Ronnie, there's some non-negotiables in the pursuit of Miss Wright. What are the things that, in your opinion, that men should avoid or go the opposite direction when they encounter? What are some of the more important things about this topic?
Well, what I would avoid is first, if a guy is approaching a girl and he wants her to be like a Miss Wright, of course he needs to make sure that his intentions are right as well. And so if you know you have everything that you need to take care of in line, then you go forward and figure out, you know, you want to avoid somebody who's jealous or stingy or who's a liar. You want to avoid somebody who, you know, if you guys were ever in a situation and you could tell that she wouldn't have your back or she wouldn't be able to understand you, so there's like a lack of communication, or somebody who doesn't give the 100% that you're given, you know, you avoid it. So I would just stay away from the lying. You know, if she mistreats her close friends, you know, I would maybe take that as a clue that, you know, who's to say she won't diss me the same way she's dissing people that she has known longer than me. And so, I mean, that's just, I guess, for starters, just if her morality level is cold, if she's callous, you know, I wouldn't want to be able to, I wouldn't try to do anything with her.
That's a good point, Ronnie. I want to ask you a question, though. What about if you come across a woman who's controlling? What would you say to that man who's pursuing a woman who probably is displaying some controlling?
Well, see, if he likes it, you know, he might want a mom and not a wife. But if you see that, you know, you're with somebody, I'm not opposed to like a woman with some strength and assertiveness or anything like that. But if you refuse to allow me to do at least what I can do, you mean I can't even open the door for you? You mad because I pulled out a chair? Then you might.
Well, that.
Well, Ronnie, we lost him. You there?
I don't know. I think we lost him.
Okay, well, we'll get him back in a second. Leslie, I want to ask you that same question.
Yeah, well, I can kind of. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Off of where Ronnie was, he was addressing pulling out the chairs and things of that nature. That's a strong woman. That's a woman. Some women are, you know, are strong, or if that's what you want to call it, and they don't have a need for those things. But I know it makes them feel good at times when you give them extra care. But as far as controlling, I think controlling is a little something different. Am I correct?
It can be, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, more okay. Well, my idea of controlling is someone more or less wearing the pants of the house and wanting to drive or you know, not yielding or just doesn't know, you know, an order of the household as far as, you know, the woman having the support of the man or vice versa, those type of things. I don't I don't think it's necessarily healthy in front of children if you have a situation like that. I mean, because it's frowned upon when you have a woman who is identified as controlling. You know, and so sometimes you have the kids who are being made fun of. Oh, your mom be running your dad, or you know, or things of that nature. So it's you know, jokes are being made. I think things were made the way the Bible says. You know, the woman is to honor the man, and you have to find relationships where the woman honors the man. That those are the relationships that are going to last. You have to believe in your partner and in your mate. And when that is in order, the woman does not wear the pants of the household. She has a man who she sits back and is able to relax and be a mom and be a nurturer while the man is out there working and executing his plan and leading and showing his family and his children by example, you know, how to deal with society, yet come home and have enough compassion to be understanding to his wife and allow her to feel the equality of man and a woman, but know her position numerically in the relationship. It's a science. You know, one, the father, two, the mother, and they produce three, the children, equaling together a whole family, you know, and this is all under God and under his will, under his allowance. And that's the true covenant of things. And if you can't find that, a lot of times marriages end up in divorce.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ronnie, do we have you back?
Yeah.
Okay, we got you. Okay. We lost you there for a minute.
Yeah.
Did you want to finish your point?
Oh, no, but that was, you know, I mean, I think I made it. You know, if you got a woman who refuses to, who wants to control, that's like a form of witchcraft because she's out of order and, you know, why is she trying to control, you know, what in her life got into her mind and into her spirit to, you know, not allow the man to play his role, and she doesn't want to play her role. So that is a form of witchcraft. If she's controlling, there's probably a reason behind it. You know, maybe she had to take care of all of her family when she was young and doesn't realize that, you know, that's not what's going to go on right now. And so you could probably approach her about it, but if she doesn't want to let it go, then you're probably dealing with witchcraft.
A scarred, a scarred woman.
Let me ask the guys this question real quick. I'm going to ask this to Ronnie again. What about an angry woman, a woman who has maybe a chip on her shoulder or who has maybe an explosive temper where she goes from 0 to 900 in like 5 seconds?
Well, before accusing her of anything, you know, you gotta see it, and you gotta look at it to where, if this is a loving person, she's probably acting out on something. Maybe there's a lack, there's a void, there's a misunderstanding, there's a hurt that hasn't been addressed. And if that's your woman, you're gonna help her in anything she needs help with. So first thing I would do, I would just pack up and run. You know, but I would, you know, try to help her see that, you know, this isn't healthy. And if she's willing to say, you know what, maybe you're right, I've been doing this all my life, and maybe this is why things haven't been going my way, then you could take it from there and get to the proper place. But if she's just angry, just refusing to see the error of her ways, you know what I'm saying? And then she, you know, she's just probably crying out for help. Most likely, you know, she's crying out for help because I don't think anybody wants to be miserable.
Absolutely. And again, I just want to let the women know who are listening to the show that we're not trying to bash women. That's not our motive. We love you. We really do. We're just trying to make sure that we cover areas where men should really pay attention to before they really determine who Miss Wright is in their life. And I think it's important. I mean, especially when looking at I've tried to pursue women that I thought were good candidates and displayed angry tendencies as far as being combative, quick to argue, where, you know, it was just a toxic situation. And, you know, did I really care to go further? I think not. Why? Because I've been there before, and I know my, you know, once bitten, twice shy. So I want to ask this question to Lorraine. Lorraine, I mean, do you feel that a man should, if he sees certain red flags, should he ignore those red flags, or should he just, you know, continue to, you know, to strive with the woman? And or at what point does he say, you know what, this is unhealthy, I'm not the man for you? Lorraine, we still have you here?
Yeah.
Oh, we can hear you now. Go ahead. It's a little staticky, but we can hear you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm having phone problems tonight, but I think
Okay. I think we lost Lorraine there. It's a little staticky. Lorraine, if you can hear us, please call back, and we'll definitely get your comment. I want to pose a question to Dynika. Same question.
And your question was whether or not a man should stay if there's red flags?
I mean, at what point do you, you know, kind of notice red flags and say, you know what, I can't deal with this? Because Ronnie was mentioning that, you know, it would definitely be advisable, you know, it would advise, you know, definitely working with a person and helping them out through their weakness, which, you know, I can agree with that too. But we're talking about, the right, miss right, and looking at characteristics that we should gravitate towards and the ones that we should, you know, pull away from. So
right.
Tendencies like anger. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, if we're talking about consistent to her character, then it's definitely something a little bit deeper. Like, you know, Ronnie was saying, if it's little outbursts and different things, you know, a moment of unhappiness is as a result of something, or you know, those sorts of things are a little bit different. And you're able to kind of work through and get to the root of it. If it's a part of her character, a part of who she is, she's naturally angry, then it's a much, much deeper issue than I think that any man on his own should try to take on. You know what I'm saying? So I would definitely say in a case like that, that person probably needs to seek spiritual counseling and a host of other things to deal with that issue. So to the man, I would say this is where their discernment is supposed to come in. You know, in the dating stage, in the friendship stage, there should be opportunities where you're able to observe her character and be able to see the consistencies and the inconsistencies within it before really diving into something. And I know that's not always the most realistic thing because, you know, nowadays people are able to really hide their true self for quite some time. You know, I've known people to be in relationships for over a year or so before, you know, their partner exploded. And so, you know, it just really kind of depends on that situation. And that's where, you know, getting to know their friends and seeing them in their element around their family and those environments help you to see if who they're portraying is a consistent part of their character. Because, no, if that's naturally who they are, they're angry, they're, you know, controlling, they're all of those particular things, and that could potentially be a dangerous situation for you. And you're not anybody's savior. You know, we leave that work up to Christ. And so that person needs to be directed towards, you know, help so they can get the healing that they need before they even enter any kind of relationship. So my advice to any male that sees those red flags is to press pause and just, you know, kind of sit back and pay attention. Because if you're patient and you wait long enough and you trust God, he will reveal all those things that you need to see up front. So there's no guessing game. If you're praying and you're really in tune with the Holy Spirit and saying, well, show me who this person really is, and you're paying attention to those red flags and those cues that the Holy Spirit is sending, then you can act accordingly and know whether or not this is a situation for you. So that would be my advice for that.
Man, guys, you heard it right there. Dynika was in the house. Lorraine, do we have you back?
Yes, you do.
Okay, Lorraine, I'm sorry. So did you want to go ahead and, before you got cut off, you got to comment on that, on my point right there?
Well, actually, I think you both covered it really well. I would say exactly the same thing. When a woman is, if she's consistently angry, the issues are probably so deep-rooted, they're definitely so deep-rooted, that it's going to require some serious help for her to be able to overcome those. Anger is just the umbrella emotion over mm-hmm. what's really going on underneath. There's a lot of hurt under there. There's been a lot of damage that's done. And if it's just something that, you know, you might trigger once in a while, something might be said or done, that triggers an old hurt, then that's something that can be brought to light. You can explore together. You know, that seemed like a really big reaction to something that was really little, or I didn't intend for that. Where do you think that was coming from? Where do you, you know, what are you feeling right now? You can kind of explore and help that person. But if it's a consistent thing in their life, it's a definite red flag that you probably need to, you know, encourage them to get some help, be their friend, but pull away as far as a serious relationship.
And you know what? That's so important, Lorraine. And the reason why I mentioned the topic of anger is because, you know, I know a couple of cops, and some women are putting a hurting on some dudes out there. I mean, you know, they're beating up their husbands, and, you know, it's terrible. Angie, you're kind of quiet right there. What do you think about that, Angie?
I was just listening to what you were saying, and it's also, I think it depends on the individual. If you bring it to, the guy brings it to the woman's attention, and she's willing to go seek help, and she's recognizing that there is an issue, that could be something that you could possibly work on. But then on the other hand, I agree with everyone else. If she's not willing, if she's quick to anger and she's not willing to accept the fact of you bringing it to her attention, she's upset that you are actually confronting her about her anger issues, then at that point I think that you should step away.
Wow. Okay. That's definitely a good point. I want to move on and talk about prayer. My mama always told me to marry someone that I can pray with. Couples that pray together stay together. And that's a proven fact. I want to ask you, Lonnie, how important do you feel that is when a man is looking at a candidate for Miss Wright? How is it important about their spiritual connection, whether they can pray together and be in one accord spiritual?
Well, I think it's really going to – I think it's important because, you know, Scripture says that we got to be equally yoked. So if you grab somebody who's not – well, I'm not into God and, you know, I don't really pray – and doesn't want to learn and, you know, won't accept you, you know, God might have put you in her life to kind of guide her to God. And so if she's not equally yoked, then there's going to be a problem there. I'm all for the praying together, and I feel more importantly praying for each other. And so, you know, I just believe if we both have, if the both parties have a relationship, like a true devotion, I'm not talking like a weekend Christians, but people who given their lives to Christ, then, you know, that should just go without saying that you would ask, you would speak life into your wife and you would accept and receive when she's speaking life into you, and that you guys are growing spiritually, not just, you know, for the things of this world. So I definitely think praying together brings power. And it also, like my wife said, it also allows your partner to hear where your heart is, because you're truthful before God, and you know you're letting her in on it because you guys are actually one. So I think the praying together is important, and praying for each other just as important.
That's awesome. I want to ask that same question to Leslie. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. It means everything.
That's the foundation. It's reflecting upon, I mean, just where you have to have a common understanding of what to expect from one another. And if a person doesn't live according to my rules, the rules that I'm living by, then my expectations of her are, you know, might not be met. And so it's very important that you guys agree on a certain lifestyle, that you believe in the same thing that you're, you know, and that, you know, you're praying diligently, because prayer is powerful. It brings... It's another form of uniting your family. And if you leave it out, I don't think a relationship is complete without it.
Absolutely. I want to talk to, I'm going to ask the ladies about this question here. And I'm sure you guys may have experienced this in your, you know, when talking to, you know, different types of men. there's some men out there who are looking for Miss Perfect, that she has to be a certain way, she has to be a certain height, a certain type of build. The funny thing about that is that we all have flaws. Nobody's perfect. And I remember a scene from that movie, Good Will Hunting, where Robin Williams, you know, his character was telling Matt Damon that it's not about whether a woman is perfect, but rather if a man and woman are perfect for each other. So I want to ask Luanne, I mean, how far off in the deep end do you think men can go when it comes to evaluating, you know, looking for a flawless woman?
Well, I think it goes both ways. I think some women can also go over the deep end looking for that perfect man. I think that on one level it's difficult for men because God created you to be very visual and to be looking first at the external. So sometimes there's a higher tolerance for unhealthy behavior because you really want that person to be healthy and right. So I think sometimes there's a tendency to look for the perfect person visually and then maybe not necessarily see the other attributes. I don't think you're going to find the perfect person, and I think most men understand that, and they're not looking for perfection as far as, you know, knowing that they're going to have some things they're going to be working on. But as far as men looking for the right woman, I think there is a right woman for that man. And I know some men are being made to feel guilty because they're told, you know, your standards are too high, or it could be because you're looking for a certain type, physical type, tall or short or thin or whatever. But I think God created us with desires, and everybody is attracted to certain types of people, and I might be attracted to somebody different from, you know, the next woman, and vice versa. There is a woman you're attracted to that another man might not be. But there is somebody perfect for you, somebody that is made just for you, that's going to love you, that's going to be complement your weaknesses and your strengths, because you're going to be one together when you come together. And I would, you know, I know this is going back to the last question, but I really want to say that I think prayer and reading the Word together is such an important part of a relationship, because I think we're in a culture that is so inundated with feeding our flesh that if we're not countering it by feeding our spirit and we're not doing that together, there's a risk, whether you're dating or once you make that decision and you get married. When we pray together and we read the Word together and we start out our day that way, we're feeding our spirit to start in the day. And when I hear my husband praying for me, and when I hear him, you know, thanking God for me and asking him to give me strength for the day and wisdom, and I can pray for him, he goes out the door knowing him. I just covered him with prayer. And he specifically asked me, even though I'm committed to being faithful to you, pray that I don't fall into temptation, that my eyes will be protected from watching and looking and taking those second looks. So I think it's really important piece to know that as a man, you have a woman that's praying for you, that is covering you spiritually as well as emotionally and meeting your physical needs.
Wow, absolutely. That's definitely a good comment right there. Danique, yeah. I'm gonna ask you the same question.
Yes, I'm sorry. Which question was that? I didn't hear the last part. She was talking about the prayer or the other one?
Oh, she mentioned the prayer, the importance of, praying together.
Yes. And with regards to that, I definitely think that that's absolutely essential as well. In terms of even just having a mate that's comfortable, you know, sharing their relationship with the Lord with you. You know, like you mentioned, sharing, I think Ronnie mentioned, you know, being able to share their heart with God in front of you. You're able to hear them with no filters and, you know, not saying just what you would want to hear, but their honesty and their heart towards the Lord. And so I think it's another foundational thing. If prayer is, you know, like breathing, then we should do it, as the Bible says, without ceasing. So even though we're doing it individually, how much more importantly is it that we, you know, pray with one another and for one another, just for strength in our relationship and strength, you know, for the things that we know the enemy is going to try to come and attack. You know, we know he hates marriage and that he seeks to destroy the very foundation of it. So we absolutely have to be prayed up and covering one another, you know, at every chance we get. As far as reading the Word together, like she mentioned before. So I think that those are both absolutely, you know, necessary and essential in a relationship.
So
what was the
let
other
me ask
question? There was one more.
Let me ask Danica. So we were talking about it before that. We were talking about men who are looking for Miss Perfect, that she has to be like, remember that movie Boomerang, the Eddie Murphy syndrome, where he looked at her toes and the toes
were
right. Like, and he was like, ugh. So, I mean, I think that men out there like that and have to be realistic. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and for that comment, I definitely agree with her on that, too. It definitely goes both ways. I think that many of us have an unrealistic, you know, romanticized version or expectation of this person who, you know, we've loosely based upon movies or somebody else's marriage that we admire or, you know, just all of these different factors that we sometimes decide that those are expectations that we're going to have for each other. And really with that, all I can really say is that it comes with maturity. So I can think about myself in my 20s as to, you know, what I desired and what I was attracted to. And it was a little more heavier on what I was attracted to on the outside than what I was thinking about internally. You know, and now, you know, I'm 33 and it's completely opposite. You know, it's definitely, I think that there should always be a necessary, some sort of an attraction. But I'm not looking for Mr. Drop Dead Gorgeous, you know, which I can honestly say in my 20s I probably was, you know, looking for somebody that I thought was just that physically attractive. And in my 30s, I would actually rather not have them be so drop-dead gorgeous. You know, so you just begin to for a level of maturity to look at somebody based upon their character and their relationship with the Lord, and those things begin to be the most attractive thing possible. So as you begin to get to know them, that becomes a foundational thing. So it comes with maturity and not, you know, desiring to have a trophy or, you know, bragging rights or whatever those things that sometimes motivate us for looking for outward attractions in a mate as opposed to, you know, looking for their character. So to know that there's no perfect person, not even physically. Physically, you know, even on the outside, however beautiful they are, there are usually some sort of flaws in there. And the same with them in real life. And so what you're looking for is really someone who compliments you the best. I heard once, you know, be with someone who even compliments your insecurities, because all of us have some. You know, the Lord is still working on us. We're still a work in progress. But being with that person who comes along and compliments those things that make you not have to worry about that. And is he, you know, looking at somebody else or, you know, these kind of things, what makes you feel secure in your situation. I think that comes along with, you know, just maturity and not basing what we want in a mate on society standards and more so looking at, you know, what's going to match with our destiny, with our purpose and, you know, what God has called us to do and a true, you know, a true friendship and someone we can build a family with. So, you know, those previous notions of perfection, you know, tend to fall away once you get a better dose of reality and have even tried to be with those type of people. You end up seeing that's not what it's all about. You know what I mean? You want something of value, something of substance, something that's long-lasting, and you're going to love them flaws and all, you know, perfections and imperfections. So,
definitely, absolutely. You know, a year ago I got a speeding ticket. The cops said I was driving too fast. And, you know, as men, I know more men are guilty of this than women. I want to talk about the dangers of moving too fast in a relationship. I think that in relationship there's a speed limit that one should go at, and I know for many different reasons. Sometimes men who have an unhealthy view of self, or they're emotionally dependent, or distraught, or the fear of loss, will try to apply the clamps early on in the courtship. So I want to direct this question to Angie. Angie, how important is it, do you feel, that men should not move fast when getting to determine Miss Right?
I think that they should really proceed with caution, because you're absolutely right. Women as well tend to move too fast in a relationship, and before you know it, you've gotten yourself into a situation that when you look back, all the red flags were there, and now because you were going so fast, you missed them, or you saw them and you ignored. And now you're in a situation where you're like, now what do I do? How did I get myself into this? And you're trying to figure out how to get out or what move do I make next. So if you just slow down and converse with the person that you're trying to pursue a relationship and get to know them, as opposed to looking at the physical attributes of the person and see what they have to offer from the inside out and look at their relationship with God, I think that you can prosper and move on with your life. But if you just continue to just look through rosy-colored glasses,
I see you making the same mistakes over and over with different people.
Absolutely. Ronnie, let me ask you, what do you think are some of the things that make men move too fast in a relationship?
Okay. When I was younger, what made me move too fast was I just wanted to have sex. I thought that's what the whole point was. Once I dominate you sexually, then I got you. You know, that's the whole point. And so I don't know if things have changed. I'm married now, but, you know, I mean, personally, they have changed, but I'm sure the playing field is the same. You know, you meet somebody, you see them, especially if you're going on looks. If I'm going on looks, I'm only approaching you because I want to see what it looks like without the clothes. I want to see what it feels like. And so that's the whole motivation is sex. I don't even talk to you because, you know, I'm interested in what school you went to. I'm just interested in how you look and how you feel. And that's it. So I think that's what it was for me. That's why I used to move too fast, and I really don't think it's changed for today. It's because I was never taught what the scripture says, that charm is deceptive, beauty doesn't last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. I didn't know anything about that. I thought the reason she was supposed to get praised is because of how she looks. I didn't know that her actions were supposed to speak for her and not her looks. And so I was moving too fast because I was going according to the flesh.
You know, Ronnie, you said something really important there. You said charm is deceitful. And the reason why I believe the Lord put that in his word is because what does that mean, deceitful? You may not get what you think you're getting.
Right.
A lot of men think that because a woman's good on the out, looks good on the outside, she must automatically look good on the, she must be good on the inside. She must have a good spirit, a good personality, and that's not the case. And Leslie, I want to ask that same question to you. Can we talk about that?
Absolutely. Well, the way I see things. Well, actually, back to your question, because I was stuck on the question prior to men going. Moving too fast, but I'll address that. My whole drive was the sexual conquest, and I think the thing is I don't think it's wrong to seek out a person, a woman who is physically attractive to you. It comes a point in your life. It comes with maturity. When you get past the act of trying to experience having sex with different women, you lose that drive in trying to just conquer women sexually. And it's okay to seek out an attractive woman to be your wife. I think you should welcome seeking out an attractive person, because that's who you're going to have to be with for the rest of your days if you are seeking them out for the right reasons. But you exercise discipline in resisting that attraction and having sex with them, and give them time to show those Christ-like attributes that we're looking for. I don't think you should have to seek out a person and be blind to what they physically look like simply because of the attributes that we're seeking are our godly quest for these attributes in a woman, especially as a man, being that the physical part of a woman is so important to us. I think it's really a level of maturity. Once you realize that, hey, what's, you know, in between the flesh and whatnot is just merely the flesh, but it is a part of our desire and the true nature of things, then you can put that aside, even though you still seek it out. You're not lusting after it. It's just, this is who I like. This is what I like. I have a certain taste. But I also know that this is not everything. This is just what's in the surface and what's equally as valuable as my desire for a certain look is her spirit. I think they both carry the same weight, because if the spirit is not right, you know, the relationship will fail. If you fall out of physical love with the person, then you're asking for it to be carried without it being balanced, you know, and that in itself, you know, is hard too. You have relationships where people say, oh, you are married to a good woman, or the woman's married to a good man, but they just don't desire them physically. And those things happen often, and that's because they've taken the wrong approach towards establishing a relationship. You still seek out that which is pleasing to your eye. God didn't tell us to close our eyes and find a mate. He told us to go seek out a woman that is pleasing to us, but beware of her nature.
That's a good point. I definitely would like to add to that, and definitely I think that eventually I do believe I hear what you're saying. And initially, we're definitely attracted to looks. Looks is the initiator, but the spirit is definitely something that will take over. Because I like we said, yeah. I think Ron said in our show last week that if you look at an 80-year-old couple, they're not worried about sex. They're not worried about how each other looks. They're in love. There's something. The spirit takes over. It's just like me going to, I'm in New York, I'm in Fifth Avenue, I need to go to 153rd Street. And if I take a cab and he says, Raz, I only have half a tank of gas, I can only take you half the way. But you can get in and I can drop you up half the way and you can wait for another cab. Or do I wait for a cab that can take me all the way, the full distance? It's the same thing with the spirit in an individual. You know, why would you be with somebody who, you know, their spirit is not right, and knowing that it cannot take you the full distance in a relationship through life, through marriage, you know? So I think that the spirit is definitely very, very important. I do understand what you're saying, Leslie, that that looks is we have to be honest with ourselves and know what we're attracted to. But I think that emotions can be deceptive. I think that, you know, it's just like when you one day you feel like going to work, the next day you don't. I think that, you know, Dianica said it best as well, that the men that she was attracted to when she was in her 20s is different from the men that she's attracted to now. I think that emotions can mislead you. Your emotions are supposed to, your spirit is supposed to lead your emotions, not the other way around. And I want to address that. I want to address that point to Lorraine.
Tell me again what you're saying, that you feel like the spirit should be dictating your emotions instead of being looking at somebody and saying, emotionally, I am attracted to this person, and that's what's drawing you into the relationship.
Absolutely. What I was saying was that I definitely believe that, as Leslie was saying, that looks is important, but I believe that sometimes our emotions can betray us and can be misleading. Therefore, I believe that the emotions should be a servant to the spirit versus the other way around.
Exactly. And I think that we're faced with that every day in our culture, where we can be drawn away by all sorts of things. Our flesh is very easily pulled away from our spirit. And I think we need to be diligent about being close to the Lord and having our spirit be the ones to be wise and watch. And I think you should be attracted to your mate or a potential mate. And I think you will be, because God, like I said earlier before I was disconnected, that everybody is created with a desire for somebody. And there's somebody that, you know, you look at somebody and they think their husband or their wife is the greatest thing on earth, and you aren't necessarily attracted to them. But that's okay. They are, because that person was made for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important. I don't think you have to give up one for the other. I think, as Leslie said, there needs to be the balance. You do need to have the attraction, but you're going to be attracted to your mate even as you get older and some of the physical starts fading. You're still physically attracted because you're so in love with their heart and their spirit and their connection to you, because they're part of you. So there's a different attraction that takes over after you might say the honeymoon phase. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're almost coming to the end of tonight's show, And I really enjoyed you guys' comments, and I want to just ask the closing comments from everybody, and kind of like summarize what you think about tonight's show, and what are your final words of wisdom to men in determining the right Miss Right. I'm going to start with Angie.
I would like to say I really enjoyed the conversation tonight, and I actually learned a lot. So, and I just encourage men to not move so fast in a relationship and take the time to get to know someone. And I do think that physical is the thing that attracts you, but that will not make you stay. So, because as we stated earlier, it fades after some years. So just be wise and move in the strength of the Lord so he can guide your path to where you need to be in the relationship that is healthy for you and your mate. So you can be
all right
and multiply.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dianika, what do you think about tonight's show, and what are your closing last words of wisdom for men seeking Miss Right?
Mm-hmm. I too enjoyed the topic tonight, the discussion. I think that I can honestly say I learned a lot as well, just from a male's perspective. I think some takeaways definitely for a man seeking to find the right Miss Right is, of course, you know, seek the Lord, you know, be in prayer so that when she is revealed to you, you're able to recognize her. I think so many times that we see another image of somebody and you think that that is your Miss Right and she might not be the one for you. So really seeking to know so that you have that spiritual eye, like you said, not being led necessarily by emotions, but by that spiritual eye so that you can truly see her and know that she is your Miss Right. And, you know, just taking your time as far as building a friendship, communication, having the right chemistry, and being able to, you know, walk together as one. So I would think that those things would really be essential in finding somebody that you want to spend your life with. So,
absolutely, absolutely. Lorraine, what's your last words of wisdom for men?
Well, I agree with both of the previous comments, and I think that men, if you are seeking the Lord first, then he is going to give you the desires of your heart. And if you're being Christ-like to that woman, and I think that's a big thing. I know that men, because they are physically attracted and sometimes they speed up because of the sexual conquest, when you're a believer, you've committed your life to Christ, and you need to remember that there's a lot of women out there that feel like they have to give themselves in order to keep somebody. Well, that's not healthy. But you're also responsible for their spirit and where you're leading them. Are you being Christ-like and not expecting sexual interaction prior to getting married, where you can just get to know each other, love each other on a spiritual level and an emotional level? And what a gift that is on your wedding day when you've done that, when you've said to her, I love you enough to do this, and she's been able to wait and say, I love you enough to do this. So I think really just seeking God, putting him first, and watching these women. And if there's unhealthiness, if it's extreme, really look at the red flags. If it's something that just is an area that they need to work on and that they're willing to, all of us have our baggage. So if we're patient with each other and we are willing to work on whatever it is brought to light, both of us, then we're setting ourselves up to have a really good relationship in the future.
Wonderful advice, Lorraine. That's just wonderful. Ronnie, real quick, we've got a couple more minutes, and I just want to quickly get you for all the men that are, what would you say to the men out there that are in pursuit of Mrs. Right right now?
Well, I would first say to open your Bible and go to Proverbs 31 and read it a couple of times and see if you're going to be the kind of guy that can take care of that kind of woman. And then put your eye out for that kind of woman. If you're in a relationship, like you got a girlfriend and you're courting her, why don't you guys open that scripture together and see what the Father says the prescription for the right Mrs. Right really is. And, you know, I just wish that the men out there that are seeking would first seek the Lord. And let the rest be added to them, and his righteousness, what God considers to be right, not just what you feel is okay because it's popular. So, you know, you'll be rewarded for your obedience. Like I said, open Proverbs 31 and get that in, and you'll be. I think that will set the course for you to follow.
Okay. Thank you, man. I got appreciate that. Leslie, real fast, we're almost out of time. What's your last couple seconds of final wisdom for the men out there?
Yeah, I agree with pretty much what everyone else is saying. Definitely, you need to look at self first. When you're looking for Mrs. Wright, you definitely can't be lust driven. You have to shed all of that, and understand that the woman is not going to be perfect. People, there's single women, parents, children. There's a lot of things that women have gone through and are still going through presently that we as men are going to have to absorb, and vice versa. So you have to be yourself ready. You have to be patient and know that it's not going to be easy, and stay in the Bible. Definitely. Seek out guidance.
That's wonderful, Leslie. Thank you for that. As we're out of time, we'll see you again next week, same time. Can we talk? I'm Mr. Les Williams. We'll be back next week, and I think Alicia should be back next week also. So, guys, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you same time next week.
I wake up early in the morning. Thank the Lord for my breath as I'm yawning. Too many people hit ignore when he calling. But I refuse to be a hypocrite. Y'all don't know the half of it. Got so many people out here claiming they know ya. Yeah, they in the spirit, but they probably ain't sober. Screaming, give us meat, but they roll up and strong us. Got me in my word, trying to live like you told us. Now what's it gon' be? Yeah, left with the right man. Living in between, now you know it ain't right, man. I refuse to lose, I'ma go down fighting. And I'ma speak truth, I don't care if you like. Nah, what's it gon' be? Left or the right, man. Living in between, now you know it ain't right, man. I refuse to lose, I'ma go down fighting. And I'ma speak truth, I don't care if you like it. Now wait a minute, don't get spit out, bruh. I won't drink water that's been left on the counter. You can fool us, but you can't fool the father. So why even bother to keep lying to yourself? Left for the right, man, are you ambidextrous? Life, this is not a suggestion. My soul cries out.